Hello, this is Father Schnudemann. So welcome to Coptic Voice Radio, proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese and affiliate region. And with me I have...
Carol.
Yes, today, Carol, we have a program titled The Heart of the Inner Desert. What is meant by the heart of the inner desert? We'll be looking at four topics today. My inner desert. Presenting my uniqueness. Doing my homework. God's gift to me every day. And sometimes we wonder ourselves, why has God put me in these positions, in these problems, in these difficulties? Why has God given me difficult husband, difficult wife, difficult children? Why has given me this work that's, you know, it's draining? Why has God given me all these things before me? And our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Saint Luke, chapter 9, from verse 10 to verse 17. But after this short break, we shall come back straight into the gospel. But enjoy Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water, because a life sometimes is like a bridge over troubled waters. And our water sometimes, it's very volatile. Enjoy it.
Time has come to shine.
Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Father Snow the Mass. Now we're ready for our gospel reflection. Turning to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, we read from verse 10 to verse 17. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitude knew it, they followed him and received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And they took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up to them." Glory be God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is the gospel of blessing. This is the gospel when our Lord Jesus Christ showed the disciples of his godliness. That is able to take 2 fish and 5 loaves and feed the 5,000 men. We are told men. We're not told about the women and the children that were there, which means that he fed more than 5,000, multiple of 5,000. Jesus told the disciples to go into the desert and spend time with God. Jesus spoke to the multitude about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. And that tells us not everyone was healed. Those who were healed were those who believed. He tested the disciples when he told them, "Send the people away. What, shall we go and send them into the back into the cities, back into the towns?" Mind you, there must have been a distance between where they were in the desert and where the town was. So what did Jesus? He tested the disciples to see what they're going to do. What are we going to do in the heart of the Simpson Desert, or the Egyptian Desert, or the American Desert, or the deserts that you may belong to in your part of the world, or maybe the city that you belong is deserted of people of love to love you and to care for you, no one around you? But Jesus said, "What do you have? We've only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread." Mind you, Jesus knew what they had, but he made initiation of to make the discussion for them to say, "This is what I have." Just as I would say, "Lord, that's all I have. Not much. Not much compared to this mountain that I need to walk up. I'm only just a speck of dust before this great mountain. I'm just a drop in the ocean." Jesus gave him a solution. Let them sit in groups of 50. And that showed us what? Jesus organized. Jesus teaches us to be organized. He took the bread, took the fish, he blessed and broke and gave the disciples. What was the result? They were all fed. At the end, 12 baskets were taken up. 12 baskets of fragments were taken up. What is the framework that Jesus teaches us? First, find your desert. Secondly, pray. Put everything between the hands of Christ. Thirdly, trust in Jesus to provide a solution or solutions. Fourth, work in what you have. Fifth, let Jesus bless. Six, do your homework. Six and seven, see God's fruit and blessings in your life in the form of the 12 baskets. Here, it tells us and confirms for us that God will never let you down because He loves you. He wants you to succeed because all His children are successful. Mind you, I don't come to Jesus because I want to be successful, but He makes it successful that I could see His work in my life. Carol.
Yes, Father. You know, it's nice, this gospel. I've heard it many times, but listening to your contemplation, it made me realize that Jesus is teaching them here and testing their faith. And I like what you said, work with what you have. It's hard to do that sometimes. You think that you need more than what's in front of you. But sometimes we have to simplify things, and if we're faced with a situation or a difficulty, I think that going to Jesus first helps with working what you have. Living in today's society, you know, you've got, you know, credit card, or you know, you put it in the machine, and it's, you know, if you're working, and sometimes it's easy to take advantage of things in life that come easy. But if those things, those basic things, were taken away from you, it'd be hard. I mean, you'd be like in the desert.
Yeah. Generally, the most beautiful things in life, Carol, is what? The simple things.
Mm.
The simple things, you know, basic stuff. And actually, when you complicate the dish, it tastes terrible.
That's exactly
but the
right.
Simple dish are the best. And on that note, we shall have a short break and enjoy the John Denver, Rocky Mountain High. And when we come back, we'll talk about my inner mountain.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road and hanging by a song. But the string's already broken and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast and it don't last for long. If the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire. Softer Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
He climbed the Feeble Mountains. He saw silver clouds below. He saw everything as far as you can see. And they say that he got crazy once, and he tried to touch the sun. And he lost a friend but kept the memory. Now he walks in quiet solitude, the forests and the streams, seeking grace in every step he takes. His side is turned inside himself to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake. Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Talk to God and listen to the casual reply. Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High. Now his life is full of wonder, but his heart still knows some fear of a simple thing he cannot comprehend. While they try to tear the mountains down, they bring in a couple more, more people, more scars upon the land. In the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, though he'd be poor man if he never saw an eagle fly. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. I've seen it rain fire in the sky. Friends around the campfire and everybody's Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High.
Welcome back to Copter Voice Radio. This is Fires from the Mountains. And with me I have...
Carol.
Yeah, Carol. My Inner Mountain. We heard John Denver, Rocky Mountain High. And I love his music because it tells us or gives an expression of nature, going into nature. And you know, all his music, it's country music, but there is something special about going into the country music and something very special going into my own inner desert, my own inner mountain.
Yeah.
And when you go into top of them, into the mountain, Cal, it is desert. It's silence.
There is, yeah.
You don't hear anything. And even the higher you go up, the altitude, you know, there's hardly life. I use the word life, but because it's so... so arid.
So serene.
It's so serene. That's the word I need, not arid. Arid means desert.
Yeah.
So when we talk about desert and talk about my inner desert, you're talking off air, by the way, Carol, about finding yourself and finding your own soul and knowing who you are. Sometimes that's very hard to know who you are because sometimes I'm in self-denial of who I am. You know, I don't realize unless I am by myself, you know, for example, when we go into on the beach and hear the waves and you hear the waves from within and you hear the voice from within talking to you. Now, I'm not mad saying that.
Yeah.
the voice within you actually talks.
Yeah.
Because you give yourself an opportunity to allow it to talk. And that can only happen when I find my own inner desert.
Yeah.
Obviously, we are city people. Yes, I'm in Sydney. I'm certain those who might be listening from Los Angeles, New York, Calcutta, maybe some places in Africa, some places in Asia, some places in Australia. So there's many people I know that from all parts of the world listen to this program. Humbly, I say this, but each one coming from different parts of the world.
Yeah, that's right.
So it shows you that the whole aspect of desert and from inner desert is a real thing. Sometimes my inner desert is my own bedroom or my own study room, my own quiet space where I can actually close up.
Yeah.
You know, some people can actually meditate and close up from the world.
It's a good practice, to be honest. It's a good practice, especially when you're living in, you know, like you said, city life. Everything's busy.
We are.
You know, there's a lot of technology, a lot of social media. It's the world is very busy. So if you can step out of that, and it's a very hard thing to do for some people because they're not used to it. A lot of
everyone's used to listen to the
loud music and yeah, go on.
Carol, let me give you 24 seconds of city life traffic around the world. Typical everywhere. So noisy. And here, this is New York, I think it is. No different to Cairo, no different to Sydney, no different any other place you can go around the world, you find these noises. That shows it's so important for us to find our inner space and to find ourselves where we are. Why? Because it's so, so important. That's off for 24 seconds.
Oh, no, I was like saying to you, can you put it down now?
24 seconds. Oh, and I'll tell you something, we couldn't last for 24 seconds.
I couldn't handle
it. Can you imagine that we're in the city and we're hearing that noise constantly? Mind you, I mean, now we find peace. As though we're in a desert now. Because we can't hear that noise. That shows and proves to us. So when Jesus took his disciples into the desert, obviously he wanted them to experience solitude, serenity. Away from the crowd. And for them to discover God in their life.
Yeah.
For them to hear the voice of God in the stillness of sound, like the stillness of the sound of silence. And, you know, I love the sound of silence, Garfunkel, the sound of silence. You know, can you imagine it through the sound of silence is golden. The sound of silence. And I don't know what to say, but it's so true.
Yeah.
Hearing the sound of silence is golden.
It's only when you experience it, though, you know.
So what it says, Carol, so therefore there must be something about the desert that gives us that sound of silence. When I'm in solitude, as you said, total silence, I'm able to hear God's voice speaking to me. My son, my daughter, I love you. Do this, do that. Come to me. I know you're having burden, but I'll lift that burden from you.
But we have to go to him first. So
I know.
It takes that little step, that initiative from us to experience his voice.
So what are the steps you may suggest, Carol, to our listeners?
I think for me, it's just a conversation, having a conversation with your creator. And just, sorry, And just talking to him, having a conversation, you know, it's as simple as going to coffee with your friend. If you could sit down and have a coffee with God, what would you talk about?
Absolutely. I think I'll be talking about my own uniqueness,
yeah,
which is actually our next topic. And that gives us a ready for our next segment. But enjoy this next piece of music. It's called Gypsy, Lord, I Am Broken. And generally, when I want to have a coffee with God, I want to tell him about my brokenness.
Exactly.
Enjoy it. And we'll come back and talk about presenting my uniqueness. Boy, you got 20 minutes, Lord? Enjoy it.
Lord, I am broken. My life is
Welcome back to Cop the Voice, where this is Fashion Man's. With me, I have
Carol.
Yeah, Carol. If I look at my own weakness, my own uniqueness, God created me unique. God created you unique. God created each one of us unique. Even our own nature, our own. If I look at my own hands,
yeah.
I have 10 fingers.
Yeah.
And each of those fingers are different, and my two hands are different. If God Himself teaches with our own uniqueness, our hands are different, our things are different. If you look closely with your eyes, your left eye is different to your right eye.
It's true. Even your face,
you know, as much as you might say, oh, it is symmetrical.
Yes,
with me, it's still, there is differences.
Yeah.
And even, for example, twins,
I sometimes find
very difficult to find any difference. But a parent said, no, the twins, they are different. Look at that. There's a pimple in one and there was no pimple in the other. I know you got twins.
Yeah, I got twins.
They're twins. They're identical, lots of things. But there is a difference between them.
Yeah, there is.
So it tells us what? God created us totally unique with from one to the other.
There's not one human being that's exactly the same as the other human being.
So which tells us the following, Carol. Each one of us have our own unique problems.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Challenges, difficulties, and some are more exposed than the other, and some are more exposed, meaning to say that sometimes our identity of weakness is shown as opposed to others are bolted up. Yeah. They can't.
Like some are more transparent than others.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
And some are more introvert, some more extrovert.
Exactly.
So all of us are different.
Yeah.
So what makes me so unique before God? And I think you said, man, very clearly about, you know, Spencer, take God for a coffee and talk to him. And I said, well, God, you've got 20 minutes. I want to talk to you about my uniqueness.
Yeah.
But my uniqueness, my coffee, you know, and if you really want to, my dear friend, make two cups of tea, two cups of coffee, literally make it and set it on a table.
Put the timer on.
And put the time on. Lord, I want to spend 20 minutes with you.
Yeah.
And I want to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but make sure it's in silence. Off through. Turn off the radio, turn off the TV, you know. If it means that you have to go for a walk, go for a walk, you know. Take the headphones out.
But if they want to make, literally, Carol, a coffee, as we talked about.
Yeah, that's right.
Do it at home, but let no one be around.
Yeah.
So you're talking to him and actually feel and take the physical chair and say, Lord.
Face to face. I'm sitting next to you.
I'm sitting next to you. And I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then after you finish your 20-minute discussion,
I'm telling you, you'll be changed.
You need to listen to him when he talks back at you.
That's right.
And I guess, Carol, what have I meant by that? Can God actually talk back after I've talked those 20 minutes? Then he said, oh.
You gave me an earful.
You gave me an earful, but can
that's
I talk?
Not what he's going
to
say.
And then what are you going to say to Carol?
Let's do it again.
Can I talk now?
Yeah, that's right.
And in a very
soft
voice. Remember like Elijah, the soft voice. You heard it from where?
The mountain.
The mountain. And you heard a soft voice speaking. It wasn't in the wind. It was a very still soft voice, and God speaks in soft voice. That's why by us learning to go into our own inner desert and sitting down and talk to him. And obviously I use the coffee, but you're right, Carol. We could go for a walk. We could sit on the beach. We can find a quiet space at home or in the garden in the backyard or maybe at work maybe if I'm in the city, go to one of our local gardens.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many wonderful gardens all around the world with those different cities. So find a place and sit with him.
And find a place that you love to be in.
And some might find the quietness inside a church.
That's right.
Or in a chapel. Or whatever tradition that you may call it for.
You know, the kids might even like, you know, kicking a ball in the park. That could be quiet for them. I know that sounds a bit weird, but, you know, I think sometimes we've got to, you know, get outside of that noise, whether it's outside of our house or, you know.
And sometimes some noise are beautiful. Listen to Milk Diamond for a few moments about the beautiful noise.
What a beautiful noise coming up from the street. Got a beautiful sound. It's got a beautiful beat. It's a beautiful noise going on everywhere, like the clickety clack of a train on a track. It's got a rhythm to spare. It's a beautiful noise, a sound that I love, and it fits me as well as a hand in a glove. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What a beautiful noise coming up from the park. It's the sound of the kids.
And I thank you to remind me also, Carol, the importance of noise. And I thought that was so important, that the noise around is beautiful. But what's more beautiful is the silence of my heart to listen to the voice of God after I had that coffee or that walk with him and speak about myself, my uniqueness, but my own problems, my own faults, my own sin, my own weaknesses, my own difficulty about my wife or my husband, my children, my workplace, or even some of my difficulties of my own problems. Each one of us got a unique identity. There's none of us there's not one or two individuals got the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us is totally unique. Mm. And that's why it's so important that we dress every person uniquely, you know, in terms of education, a special plan. Everyone's got a special plan. God has a special plan for each one of us. But I need to talk to him.
Yeah.
He wants to listen to me. You said off air, Carol. And now I just remind you, he says that God loves to hear our voice in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
And so beautiful when I tell him, Lord, I'm facing this, I'm facing that, unique issues. Lord, you know, I'm going to lose my job end of the week. Lord, I don't have enough money to buy food for my family. Lord, how am I going to pay the rent for next week? Lord, how am I going to pay for the electricity bill next month? So you are actually engaging God. Engage your heart with God.
Mm.
That can only happen when I sit in silence. And that's why
listen to this voice. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, 'neath the halo of a street lamp. I turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light, it split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed the wills of silence. People bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispered.
Only silence when it comes hit by ourselves. Only silence when we go into my inner desert, my inner soul, my inner heart, and present my own weakness before God. And that leaves us doing my homework. How can I do my homework, Carol?
I don't know. It's interesting when you say, how can I do my homework? You've got to seek it for yourself.
Uh-huh.
And homework, as you're saying, spiritual homework we're talking about here.
Mm.
So it's not the typical homework you're thinking about. But how do
but
we...
But even if I have the typical homework, I need a teacher to teach me how to do
the homework.
My homework.
That's right.
And even when I go home, my parent would sit down and help me do my homework. But in this case, my homework, my teacher has to be who? None other than Jesus himself.
That's right.
He becomes my personal mentor, my personal God, my personal God that encourages me constantly. And without him, I can't do anything.
That's right, we can't do anything. And he's the only one who really understands our uniqueness.
And not only that, Carol, by me telling him about myself, I'm actually telling him of my own homework that I need to do. And the only way that I would understand myself, if I tell God my own uniqueness in my private discussion, the coffee or... at the beach or in the desert.
Or in prayer.
In prayer, mind you, all this we really mean prayer.
That's right.
Actually,
yeah.
Discussion in prayer. As I talk to you on radio, it is actually having this discussion with him. Lord, you and I need to talk.
That's right.
Mean to say, I say, and the response. But that response, he becomes my teacher. The thing is, can you say that Jesus is your teacher? Now, I like you to look at and listen to this wonderful piece of artwork of music. And I love it because it is about the homework. And I love it. I love it. I love it, Carol.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
And if they gave a Nobel Prize for really cool teachers, I'm sure you would win it, because you're really cool. Especially how nice you are when someone doesn't do their homework. That makes you the greatest teacher in this whole great school.
Just as an example of how you're the coolest teacher, if someone told you right now they didn't get their homework done, you'd probably give them extra, extra, extra credit. Just for being honest, and then say go have fun.
Now I can't remember the question that you asked me, but you look really nice today, of course you always do. Anyway, I guess we should let you go back to teaching. All the kids are waiting, but it was great talking to you.
Yes, all the kids are waiting to learn from a great teacher like you.
Who's your great teacher? My great teacher is Jesus.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I tell you something, Carol, that God himself, Jesus himself, sends out great teachers. If it's our school teachers at school, or our teachers at university, or our teachers at church, or teachers at work, or teachers in society. So we all have many, many teachers that will nurture us, mm-hmm. mentor us, and take us on, you know, on a different new paradigm, new area. But when we look at all of through, it is really God directing those teachers in our lives to become the better people that we are. Meaning every learning experience and everything that we read never goes to waste.
That's right.
Because Jesus teaches us to do our homework. And as you said off air, our homework is what? Our spiritual exercises, which involves many, many things. Name those many, many, many things, Carol.
Well, we talked about, you know, talking, which is prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer is one thing. And through prayer, we, you know, I mean, we invite God into our lives. And we hear his voice through reading the Bible.
Amen, amen. So. And also in the Orthodox tradition, and we have the sacraments of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And we have also the sacrament of confession. And these are the two sacraments that we are able to engage with God, because God talks to us through the scriptures. And as you said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you'll have everlasting life. So I need to have that engagement through. And I guess when we look at through, God reminds us that his mercies are renewed every day, which tells us very clearly, I see God's
handiwork, I guess.
Handiwork, exactly, in my life.
Yeah.
I see God's richness in my life.
Mm.
I see God's miracles in my life. Every day is a miracle.
Mm.
I see God's mighty hand in my life, because I done my discussion with him. I revealed him my problems. Lord, I can't do this assignment. I can't do this work. How am I supposed, Lord, to fit in 12 hours in 3 hours? And I tell you, God moves mountains.
He loves it when we invite him into our lives and give him priority above anything. He's a jealous God. He doesn't like to compete with other things in your life.
So he does say, he said, I'm a jealous God. But a jealous God in a good way.
It is. I mean,
he doesn't want us to be deceived.
That's right.
And that's the party.
Yeah, I see it as not competing with other things in your life. So
what, you know, the one of the biggest thing that the Bible teaches us, that Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon.
Yeah.
Meaning he cannot serve God and money. And that's a powerful thing. But I want to say to you, my listeners, that one of the most beautiful things that you'll see results in your life, outcomes, that is the outcome of prayer, the outcome of solitude, the outcome of sacraments, the outcome of coming to yourself, discovering yourself, discovering your inner desert, discovering your inner soul, you will be free. Jesus said, could you tell us the passage in John chapter 8 from verse 34 onward? That passage there onwards, okay. What it says?
It says clearly, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. But a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed."
And I'll tell you something, Carol, that we see when we do our homework, meaning sit down with God, talk to him about myself, not others, me, and then you see the outcome. That outcome, Jesus said, if I set you free, man, you are going to be free. And because the Lord himself is a mighty God, he loves, as you said, he's a jealous God. He doesn't want us to be bounded by sin, but to be free from sin forever. Jesus sets you free, but that freedom can only come regularly through prayer, through reading the scriptures, through spending time with him. Go on.
I was going to mention as well, through the sacraments of confession as well.
And the Eucharist as well.
Yeah.
All of that, by the way, comes into play because that allows me to be in solitude, in a special time with God, because God really loves you. And Carol, we just finished back the program and we're ready to do what?
Did you know?
Absolutely. Did you know? Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed.
Did you know God loves to hear your voice?
Did you know that I've got to find my inner desert?
Did you know you need to give him some sort of priority in your life?
Did you know that I need to step out from all of the sounds of life?
Did you know quiet time within yourself is always the best thing?
Did you know that the inner heart is the solitude of the desert?
Did you know God yearns to hear your voice in the morning?
Did you know that every morning his mercies are renewed?
Did you know that God gives you every day as a gift?
Did you know that God loves you?
Did you know that we belong to his family?
Did you know that we are all his children?
Did you know that Jesus loves every single uniqueness in you?
Did you know that God loves humanity?
That God provides for you?
Did you know that God will show you the 12 baskets?
Did you know that God is the ultimate teacher?
Did you know that Jesus is my teacher?
Did you know all we need to really do is ask him?
Did you know that Jesus died for you on the cross?
Did you know spiritual homework is very needed?
Did you know that Jesus says, I love you?
Did you know reading his word is amazing?
And did you know that you've been listening to Coptic Voice Radio, a program proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and its affiliated regions and proudly sponsored by the Coptic Media Association Sydney. If you wish to write to us, you can do so at Coptic Voice Radio coffeeforestradio@gmail.com, or you can private message us on Facebook. You'll find us at facebook.com/Coptic Voice Radio. You can also download our podcast so that you can keep up to date and also listen to our previous shows. You'll find it at the podcast app for Apple and iPhone devices, the podcast app for BlackBerry devices, and an app called Stitcher for Android devices.
Now it's time to say goodbye. We hope you enjoyed today's poem titled The Heart of the Inner Desert. Wow, spend some time in solitude and find that special place that you could sit with God and say, Lord, I want 20 minutes of you with a tea and coffee with you. Now it's time to say a GW, which is...
Great Weekend.
And when Monday comes, the GW stands for...
Great Week.
Oh, love you. I'll see you next time, next week. God love.
May the love of God, the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.